Well, amen. God with us. We're here today to celebrate Jesus. Amen. Would you pray with me as we begin? Lord, I come to you now on this Christmas Eve, on a day when many gather because of the tradition that it is. And yet we come together, Lord, not because of tradition, but because of triumph. Because you are the risen King. It's not just that you were born. It's that you died and rose again. That you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, I ask that in this coming hour, that you pour into us, that you may one day pour out of us, all for your glory. And as always, by your grace. It's in Jesus' name we pray together. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Well, friends, I want to welcome you to not only a Christmas Eve service, but also to the last and final week of our series entitled Miraculous Metamorphosis. And it's my prayer that you'll be blessed today as we see the streams of truth and love converge on a Christmas day, on a day when the world will recognize Christ. My prayer is that we will recognize that he's true and alive every day, not just on this day. Now, to that end, friends, I want to say to you, we're gathering on what is arguably the most celebrated of all Christian holidays, with a focus on what will be arguably the most concentrated on and celebrated of all Christian Bible verses. You'll see we're going to look at John 3:16 today. And we're going to do it in the midst of a focus on the celebrated commissioning of Christians. That is, in the call to go make disciples who will make disciples who will make disciples. And so I say to you, if you've come today expecting a tempered, traditional Christmas Eve service, I pray that you're going to be blown away by the fact that, no, we've come to celebrate today. We've come to celebrate the privilege of being disciples who make disciples, and we're here to celebrate the Christ of Christmas. No, this is not a day of tempered traditions. This is a day of triumphant truth. His name is Jesus. Amen? Well, friends, I want to bring to you today 5 points that walk out of the Word of God when we look at John 3:16. Let me just share with you the verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Praise God. Friends, I want to show you this morning in the context of worship, in the context of celebration, bringing with me some praise and worship, stuff that doesn't necessarily sound like Christmas until you come to understand the Christ of Christmas. And then you'll realize, oh, this is a day of celebration. This is a day of praising God through word and song because of the Christ of Christmas. Amen. Well, as we walk through this morning, you're going to see that in John 3:16, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have a unique story of truth and love, that we have a unique gift giver and a unique gift given to us. We have a unique dynamic in the context of discipleship. We have a unique and timeless takeaway. You'll see that we will celebrate what God takes away. And lastly, you'll see, at least in the context of this verse, that we have a unique quality and quantity of life. Now, those 5 unique truths will lead to a 6th and final uniqueness that I'll leave till the end. But let's go ahead and walk with God through his word. Again, celebrating Christmas, celebrating our call and commissioning to go make disciples. Let's look first at the unique story of truth and love as we read the opening words of John 3:16. It is God's word that tells us, "For God so loved the world." Friend, I want you to see in each of those words a deep meaning. 4 simply connects. The word 4 connects verse 16 to verse 15, where we were asking the question, how do we get to eternal life? The answer is found in verse 16. That's what the word 4 introduces. And now, for God so loved, each of those words are critical. It's Creator God that we're talking about here, and that's why we can have great confidence. It is the Creator of all things who is now going to make a promise and a proclamation. And it is this God who so loved. So means in this way, to this extent. This is the defining characteristic. These are the standards of God. For God so loved. This is action. God is initiating and taking action. This is love that does. This is 1 John 3:18 on display, where we're told that we're not to love with just word and tongue, not lip service, but in action and in truth. For God so loved, He initiated and took loving action. And what did He love? Or better, who did He love? The world. The word world here is not the cosmos, it's not the universe, it's not the hard geography of the planet. It is humanity. It is all of the human beings. Anyone, anywhere is encapsulated in this description of God's love. I wonder, friends, do you know this messianic proclamation personally? Do you hear, just in these opening words, the messianic promise? The messianic power, the purpose. Do you see yourself in the people? Do you recognize it is a call, as you'll see, to persevere because our King is worth it? Because the promise is a guarantee? Because the purposes of God are being laid out here? Oh, that we would celebrate Christmas and celebrate our call to be a disciple who makes disciples. Who makes disciples. When this is you, friend, you will carry on through thick and thin. You will say, yes, Lord, no matter what. When you understand how much God loved you, that He would die on a cross, that you could live and bring the story of the cross to a dark and dying world, I tell you what, you would carry on. You would say yes, Lord, to whatever He called you to for His good and for the thrill of the glory of God. I want you to listen to a song that I pray will speak into your heart and then later come out of your heart as part of the truth and the love that you know as one who celebrates Christmas and your call to fulfill the Great Commission, which simply means to go and tell the glory story of God, to find the lost, and to grow the found into more glorifiers. Amen. Let this song kick off our time together, and I pray be an anthem in your heart. Watch this, sing this, enjoy this, and then we'll pick right back up.
Call on the Lord.
Amen, friends. Is that you? Are you one that's willing to burn the bridges to your past, to press in to the hope that lasts? Because you know that he's coming soon. Oh, when you know that love that God has for you, you will live that love in return. Now, this brings us to the second point. As the verse continues, we see now a unique gift giver and a unique gift given. For God so loved the world that he gave, the gift giver, God gave his only begotten son. That's the unique gift given. His name is Jesus. I wonder, friends, are you one that can see the gift of God in Christ? Do you recognize that it is Christ who is the gift of Christmas? It is Christ who is the center of all discipleship. And do you see in this verse, it's God the Father giving God the Son to the people of God who will bow and surrender to victory in him. Note this, it's in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 that you see this salvation is called the gift of God. Similarly, in Romans 3, 24, Christ himself is called the gift. We're justified by the gift that is Christ. Now, in 2 Corinthians 9, 15, Paul calls this gift indescribable. Christ in the salvation gift, the miracle of saving grace, the miracle of Christ's mercy. We're told it's indescribable. God's word says this gift is indescribable. You know why? Because he is the only begotten Son of God. Now, many get this word confused and heresies begin, thinking that somehow God created Jesus, that Christ was begotten, meaning coming out of a manufactured or created state. But that's a total perversion and misunderstanding of the word. You see, that word that we translate only begotten is one single Greek word. It's a compound word made up of mono and the word that we would use for genetics or gene. And so what we see here is God is telling us that Christ is unique. He is the one and only, monogenetic. There is none like him. That's the meaning here. And when you understand how unique he is, then you'll understand that you cannot get what he gives anywhere else. This is at the very heart of what it is to understand the good news of the gospel. You see, to receive Jesus is to receive the creator and sustainer of all things. It is to receive the lover and lifter of all human souls. It is to receive the revealer and the redeemer of those who will repent and believe. It is to believe in the transformer and discipler of genuine followers of Christ. Ultimately, when you receive the gift of Christ, you receive the Savior and the sanctifier of all biblical believers. His name is Jesus. And when you're with him, you'll never, ever be the same. Listen to this song and hear again the lyrics. This is a Christmas song without the Christmas lingerings and the Christmas decorations. It's a discipling song, I can tell you that. To hear this, listen to one of the words, I am not who I once was. My whole life has changed. I met the forgiver, and now this sinner will never be the same. Oh, I pray that you'll celebrate Christmas this day with this song, just lifting up your heart and driving the beat of your very life. Let this be another anthem for all of us celebrating Christmas. Amen and amen.
Come all you sick. Come to the fountain, to the edge of the bank. The water is stirring, the tides are now turning. Jump in the river of grace. Spirit is searching, heart tides are returning. Jump in the river of grace.
We'll sing, I am not.
And I am not who I once was.
Well, and again, I say amen, and I pray that you're being blessed. I pray that there's a tapping of your toe and a quick beating in your heart and a celebration that puts a smile on your face. We're celebrating Christmas and the privilege that it is to be a discipler based on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here again, let's now look at the third piece. When you've met the unique Son of God, you will come to understand there's a unique call and dynamic in the discipleship relationship that you have. See, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him. This whosoever, this is the anyone and everyone, anywhere and everywhere catch-all clause for the invitation of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is telling us that if you can find a people, if you can describe a people, this invitation is for them. You see, God has told us over and over and over again through his word that he loves all people, that he intends to invite all people into this place of contemplation. Remember last week in Acts 4:13, we saw that it is the magnificently common people that are miraculously saved by grace over and over and over again through Scripture, designated, making them the designated family and people of God. Oh, that you and I would come to understand that this is a universal invitation. But at the same time, there is not universal salvation. No, I want you to hear what the Life Application Study Bible says in regards to understanding where the whosoever and the believes come together. Here it is, and I quote, "To believe is more than intellectual agreement that Jesus is God. It means to put our trust and confidence in Him, that He alone can save us. It is to put Christ in charge of our present plans and our eternal destiny. Believing biblically is both trusting His words as reliable and relying on Him for the power that is needed to change. You see, this is all done by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone, according to the Holy Scriptures alone. This is not only what the Reformation was built on. This is what the Reformer, the Redeemer, the King of Kings tells us in His Word. You see, friends, biblical believing requires what I consider to be a three-legged theological stool. You've got to understand that you need a miracle of saving grace, that each and every one of us have nothing in and of ourselves that can save us. We are dead in our sins, and only when acted upon from the outside, that's saving grace, in the miraculous love and mercy of God. You see, we're told in John 6:44 that none come to Jesus. This was what He said. No one comes to Me unless the Father draws them. It is the grace of God that not only gives us Jesus, but draws us to Him. That's what the Word tells us. You need the miracle of saving grace that is found only in, number two, the Messiah, who is Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life, He said. No one comes to the Father except through Me. And when that happens, the spiritual fruit will be seen in one's life as they then live on, number three, mission. Miracle, Messiah, mission. This is what it means to be in the whosoever, praise God by His grace, who believe biblically in the Son. You will know them by their fruit. That's what Jesus said. Listen to what one theologian said to this point, and I quote again. The message of the good news comes to a focus in this verse. God's love is not static or self-centered. It reaches out and draws others in. Here, God sets the pattern of true love, the basis for all love relationships. When you love someone, really love someone dearly, you're willing to give freely to the point of self-sacrifice. God paid dearly with the life of His Son, the highest price He could ever pay. Jesus accepted our punishment, paid the price for our sins, and then offered us the new life that He had bought for us with His blood. When we share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, our love must be Christ-like love. We must be willing to give up our own comfort and security so that others might join us in receiving God's love. Amen and amen. You see, when you've met Him, you'll be changed. There's none like Him, no, not any. And He'll bring an awakening of your soul, friend. He'll bring an awakening of your soul when He brings you to life. Then you'll celebrate Christmas. Then you'll celebrate being a disciple. Then you will live with your eyes and heart open. Listen to this song and hear again, I pray, that you'll cry out, Lord, come and consume us with Your power. We need You, Lord Jesus, in this hour. We need an awakening. For Your glory, Lord, would You please make us holy? Listen to this and celebrate Christmas, I pray.
You said if we would pray and we would seek and humbly lay our lives down at Your feet, that you would bring us to a place where earth and heaven meet for your glory. Make us holy. So we have come to kneel before your throne with faith and confidence in you alone.
Jesus, we need you in this hour. Bring it away.
us with your power. Jesus, we need you in this hour. Bring an awakening. Bring an awakening.
Amen. A unique story of truth and love. A unique gift giver and gift given. A unique dynamic in discipleship. Well, now here we are, number four. We find a unique and timeless takeaway. What do I mean by that? We can celebrate the very mercy of God, that He takes away that which we deserve. Listen, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes biblically in Him will not perish. You see, you don't perish because your sins have been taken away. It's the very mercy of God, I told you last week, that'll make you bold in and for Jesus. When you realize what has been taken away, the wrath of God that you and I deserve, Christian, has been taken away and bought with the blood of Jesus the Christ. This will make you bold. Because you see, it's not just that the perishing is taken away, it's taken away forever. Ever. You will never perish. It's not that you won't perish today or tomorrow. Once you don't perish, you don't ever perish. Listen again to one of the voices of the past. Quote, "The guarantee given to those who possess eternal life is that they will never perish. Genuine salvation can never be lost. True believers will be divinely preserved and they will faithfully persevere." Why? How do I know? The quote continues, "Because they're kept by God's power and God's promise," end quote. You see, friends, when you know that you'll never perish, you will live. And you won't live for yourself, you'll live for your Savior, the one who died that you could live. When you come to understand what mercy has done for you, and here again, it's a Christmas song without the Christmas wrapping. But when you come to realize what mercy has done for you, you will celebrate Christmas unlike you have ever celebrated Christmas before. Amen? Amen. Sing this out from your heart, I pray, and let it lead you in this time of praise and worship this Christmas Eve. Yeah. And again, I say amen. These words have been ringing through my heart and my ears all week long. I needed someone to come rescue me, and mercy heard my plea. Lord, you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave. Now I'm living like I'm forgiven. You came and set me free. That's what mercy did for me. Oh, that this would be the song of our heart. What a tremendous Christmas song. What a core, true, echoing anthem of a disciple. Oh, that we would come to see all that Christ has done for you and me. We will not perish. And as if that weren't enough, look at the fifth point. Here we see that we'll have a unique quality and quantity of life. No, we won't perish. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. It has been said that in eternal life, there is no death, sickness, enemy, evil, or sin. Praise God. But sadly, when we don't know Christ, we make choices and decisions as though this life were all that we have. When in reality, hear me, friends, when in reality, this life is just the introduction to eternity. This life is just the introduction to eternity. Now, when you've been saved by grace and you know the King and you are that Christ-following, Christmas-celebrating church, you say amen to that. But if you don't, you won't. And this is again where the coming together of being a disciple and celebrating Christmas, they converge here. You see, if you are a Christian and you know what it is to have heard the voice of God and you've responded to his amazing grace and the Spirit of God has indwelt you, then you will know what is the title to this next song. You know what it's going to be like to, quote, go live with God. I want you to listen to this song and hear again, be blessed, because when you have eternal life, that means that it began the moment you were saved and it's never going to end. Your life will be eternally with God. Down here, between here and heaven, we just got to finish up and walk through the mud, deal with the battles. But make no mistake, friends, if you have eternal life, you will live with God forever. And that will give you a reason to celebrate Christmas. And it will be at the core, in the very heart of your understanding of the privilege that it is, no matter what, to be a disciple of Jesus the Christ. Oh, let this song bless you. I pray it will bless you as you come to realize what most people in this world will never realize, the blessing that it is to have eternal life in Jesus the Christ.
1 Corinthians 15:36-44. Some skeptic is sure to ask, show me how resurrection works. Give me a diagram. Show me a picture. What does this resurrection body look like? If you look at this question closely, you'll realize how absurd it is. There are no diagrams for this kind of thing. We do have a parallel experience in gardening. You plant a dead seed, and soon there is a flourishing plant. There is no visual likeness between seed and plant. You could never guess what a tomato would look like by looking at a tomato seed. What we plant in the soil and what grows out of it do not look anything alike. The dead body that we bury in the ground and the resurrection body that comes from it will be dramatically different. You will notice that the variety of bodies is stunning. Just as there are different kinds of seeds, there are different kinds of bodies. Humans, animals, birds, fish, each unprecedented in its form. You get a hint at the diversity of resurrection glory by looking at the diversity of bodies, not only on earth, but in the skies, sun, moon, stars, all these varieties of beauty and brightness and we're only looking at pre-resurrection seeds. Who can imagine what the resurrection plants will be like? The image of planting a dead seed and raising a live plant is a mere sketch at best. But perhaps it will help in approaching the mystery of the resurrection body. But only if you keep in mind that when we're raised for good, alive forever.
Amen. Is that not powerful? Does that not get your heart beating? Does it not bring the praises up from your heart out through your hands? Well, I pray that it does. I pray that it does, that you're able to celebrate Christmas for the real reason that we celebrate Christmas, that you're a disciple who understands what it is to be a disciple. You see, the verse is done. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Friends, when those words ring true in your heart and are miraculously empowered by the Spirit of God, then you'll not only know the unique story of truth and love, you'll not only know the unique gift giver and the unique gift given, you'll not only live in the unique dynamic of discipleship, you'll not only celebrate that unique, timeless takeaway called mercy, you'll not only thank God for the unique quality and quantity of life, but you'll have a unique praise and appreciation. You see, you'll say amen, which means may it be so, in a way that echoes the meaning and the mission of the Bible. You'll be one who will say, Lord Jesus, you're everything. I celebrate Christ. He is God with us. He will always be with us, and if we're his, we'll always be with him. He's worth everything, everything. He is by definition truth. He is by definition mercy, love, victory, redemption. Oh, your praise will be a lot more than a typical Christmas celebration. No, you'll celebrate Christ. And your discipleship, it won't be about going to church. It'll be about being the church. Why? Because he's worthy of all our praise and all that we have. I want to leave you with one song whose title is simple. It's one word, amen. I want to pray and then let this song be my amen and your amen for not only a Christmas Eve service, not only a year-long sermon series on discipleship, but I pray that this song will be the anthem of our hearts for the rest of our lives. Lord, may it be that the words of this coming song will come out of the hearts of everyone within the sound of my voice. Lord Jesus, may you get, because you deserve, all the glory. Amen and amen.
The well that overflows, the God who